So a lot of work has done, and I'm really happy, and again I have to tell you that I'm really happy to be here together with you, and I'm really grateful for all of you for these couple of days together, and with the risk that I will forget someone, I would like especially thank to Tom, to Anne, to Brother Bob, Lester, Kevin, and Jan, and all the others here.
You're welcome.
For your help and for your really warm welcoming. It was a time of grace for me, a privileged time for me, and I'm very happy that I could see a very vivid life and a very good fraternal spirit here in your national fraternity. A special experience is the great diversity in your national fraternity, what is something very special for your country, even if something similar can be experienced in other countries, but you are extremely diverse. Also, it's a great thing that in the national executive you have elected Michel and Arturo as members to the national councillors in the national executive, because I think it's very important to demonstrate that there are entities that are present, they are vivid, they are strong, and I congratulate to this decision. It was a very good decision. During the discussions, I could see that it's a very good thing that your fraternities, both local, regional, and national fraternity, has deep insertion in the society and in the church. Just having heard these initiatives and all the activities you are doing personally and in various groups, it shows this great deep insertion in the society. All of you have been doing a great work for the sake of the secular Franciscan order, and I would like to say thank you for this work, for this great work you are doing in your office, in your places. The meetings with the National Executive was really very fruitful, and except some minor observations that I will share with them, I can say that I'm happy to see that things are going in order. So now, as a final moment of my visit, I would like to speak about something that perhaps is not that we would expect from me, but I would like to invite you to an adventure. I would like to speak to you about my personal vision of the SFO, what I think we secular Franciscans are, who do we are secular Franciscans. And probably there won't be very much novelty in this, you know all these things, what I will just sum up, but it's good to remember, and if there is anything that you could benefit from it, that would be a great joy for me. It very often happens when someone comes to a fraternity and wants to join a secular Franciscan fraternity, the first question is that what are the secular Franciscans doing? And immediately it has to be turned out and said, no, it's not important. The question is who we are. Not what we are doing, who we are. What does it mean to be someone? When in the book of the Exodus, Moses asked the Lord, "Who are you?" The Lord says, I am who am. So, you cannot identify God by his acts. You can identify God by his existence. Who is? So, just stepping into the theology of Thomas of Aquino, so this is the substance of God, the existence, to be. And this is the primary issue for us human beings, and also secular Franciscans, who we are. And our vocation is to be secular Franciscans, and not to act as secular Franciscans. Because to do something has to be based upon to be someone, and not vice versa, because our existence determines our acts. If contrary, if the acts determine our existence, then we are determined by the word, we are determined by the circumstances, and we are casted under the various issues around us, without any roots and without any base. So who we are secular Franciscans, and as I think at the table discussion said, or maybe in this plenary session I said, that we are secular Franciscans, not going to be secular Franciscans. We are secular Franciscans. By the virtue of the profession, we are. So since that very moment when we made this profession, we are secular Franciscans. Better verse, with more capacities, with less capacities, sometimes more joyful, sometimes less joyful, but we are secular Franciscans. And I would like to invite you to consider what does it mean to be secular Franciscans, and let's jump back in the history to the very first moment of our life, when our order was called the Order of the Penitents. And this is our basic vocation, to be penitents. And this is the original nature of our vocation. Why did I say this? To go back to our roots, to be penitents. Well, I would like to invite you to consider this spiritual part, rather. So, I have experienced a lot of things here. And I don't want to praise you for certain things, that things are in order, and so on, and so on. These things can be done. These things can be completed, and the order has to be maintained, the budget has to be kept in order, but basically things are in order that can be completed. But there are certain things that cannot be completed. We may not say that we have finished, and this is the penance, this is the conversion. We never may say that we have finished it, we have converted. No, this is our duty, daily conversion. And it must be restarted every day. During the General Chapter in 2002 in Rome, we had the privilege to take part in an audience, a private audience with the Pope John Paul II. And then he gave an address to the General Chapter. Probably you have read this letter of him. And the most important sentence in his letter is that after we have already the rule, the general constitution, and so on, now set out to the deep. We have to set out to the deep. Well, this is an adventure. To set out to the deep. To the storm, to the depths of the water, to the various risks. But it's worse to set out to the deep because the fish are more. So, I strongly encourage you and exhort you to set out to the deep, to the depths of the conversion, to the depths of the penance. Penance means reconciliation. Reconciliation, with other words, to establish a new beginning, to reopen the dialogue, and to share my life. This is reconciliation. Instead of closing things, to open. Instead of shutting up my doors and windows, to open. And establishing a new beginning means that I accept the fact that nothing has finally been closed. So we always may restart. And since although with all my sins I close a door, I shut up a door, with the reconciliation I open it again. Open a door, open a window, and I leave it to your private contemplation. What does it mean in the life of the Church and the Second Vatican Council? To share my life, I have to share all my life. I mean, not only my things, my properties, but my time, all myself. This belongs to the penance, this belongs to reconciliation, this belongs so to my vocation, to share my life. But share is much, much more than to give. Share is much, much more than to relinquish, to put down, to forego. To share means that I don't want to keep the decision on my own. Don't want to keep the decision on my side. I let the other, I let God, I let my neighbor decide if wants to enter to my life or not. If needs something or anything from my properties, from myself or not. To share means to let anything to be taken, to let enter the other anywhere in my life. When I say that we have to reconcile, then the next question is that, okay, reconcile, but with whom to reconcile? And this is a three-legged stool. I have to reconcile with God, I have to reconcile with myself, and I have to reconcile with my neighbor. And if any of these three legs falls out, then the stool just turns over. I can't live a reconciled life with my neighbor and with God if I'm not reconciled with myself, and just turn around these combinations. And when I say that to reconcile with God, of course everyone thinks of the sacrament, the rite of reconciliation, the confession. And that's true, that's the one way. But there's another way. It's not only God who has to forgive my sins. It's also me. I have to forgive God. How many times have I accused God? How many times have I said that God's ideas are different of mine, but mine are the better? So first of all, we have to forgive God. Secondly, we have to forgive to ourselves. I have to forgive to myself. So can I accept my limits?
Bless you.
Can I accept my limits? Can I accept that I'm not perfect? Can I accept that I have capacities in a certain field, I have no capacities in another? Can I accept that I'm a sinner? And also to reconcile with the neighbor, of course. This is the most evident, but perhaps the most difficult, but I'm not so sure. So, to come back to share in the reconciliation, that I have to let my neighbor into my life. This is the reconciliation. This is how I have to forgive my neighbor. To let him come and to abdicate my right to decide. And I have to offer not only the rest, but also the essential. It is so easy to formulate my world as a beautiful globe that has a solid surface, but there is nothing to touch, there is nothing to where to grasp, there is no entry. That is solid globe. No. I have to cut pieces and I have to offer, I have to open, because this is the only way how I can provide space for God and the neighbor to fill it. Otherwise God cannot fill it. If I don't empty myself in front of God, then God cannot fill me and I cannot reconcile with God. And if I don't empty myself for the neighbor, then we cannot reconcile with each other. I know it's hard and it's not an easy job to do. But I think this is the only way to make place in myself to be filled with God. And I think also this is that vital reciprocity that our rule is speaking about. So it's worth to contemplate a little on the various points of the rule. What does it mean, this vital reciprocity, also in this sense of the reconciliation? So I would like to invite you to this adventure. The adventure of the reconciliation, the adventure of the penance as the original nature of our order. So that as the Pope Pius XII said once, that as a result of this reconciliation, the uncreated love may meet the created love. Thank you very much.